a cat from the popular play Cats.
Jungle. I thought we were doing the...
What's that?
The one that has the Ming language.
The humming? Oh, we're the Duke and Lady Finrig?
Yeah, Finrig.
But you don't like to do that. I've tried to get a humming language going for the both of us, and you keep refusing.
We have all kinds of secret languages. We don't need any more.
We don't need an extra hum ranges?
No, we have, like, the one where we just meow at each other. Mm-hmm. We have the one where you just make bird noises at me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
or where you're like
Cardi B.
Hey, hey.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm acting like one of the parrots from Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have.
Shout out to Hi, I'm Growlu.
Yeah.
At Instagram.com.
Instagram.tumblr.com.
Yeah. I liked Tumblr. What were some of your favorite Tumblr sites? Did you have good Tumblr sites?
I think my most favorite was my collaborative Tumblr site with my friends called jankierswanky.tumblr.com.
Ooh, that sounds great. Everybody go to jankierswanky.tumblr.com.
I think it's probably still there.
Yeah, probably. That's the fun thing about Tumblr is it's still there. They're all there forever.
Yeah.
Apparently what killed Tumblr was they stopped allowing porn.
Yeah, you told me that.
Did I tell you that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was some good porn on Tumblr. I do say so myself.
I never used it for porn.
Mm. Used it for porn, I guess, is a funny... That strikes my ear in a funny way.
You just stumbled upon it?
Yeah.
Well, how do you just stumble upon porn? I think
you search for something specific and then put Tumblr at the end and then just happen upon it.
That feels like using it specifically for porn.
Good point. I also liked... There was one where they just went through every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and commented on the civilian clothing,
mm-hmm.
and how wackadoo it was,
mm-hmm.
in a really funny way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I think it was called makeitso.com, spelling S-E-W.
Mm.
Or it might have been
Star Trek.
Yeah, or it might have been Star Trek TNG fashion.tumblr.com. But it search it up, because that's a good website. They're doing good work over there. They're doing the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some wild fashion choices on that show.
I mean, I remember, like, kind of using Tumblr to look at things, but mm-hmm. I don't remember any specific Tumblrs. Oh, wait, was there... it's possible that animals talking in all caps was a Tumblr.
That makes sense. That sounds like something you'd look at.
I was really into animals talking in all caps, mm-hmm. for a while.
Was that during the shift from people doing the Doge talking for every animal, or the I Can Has Cheeseburger talking for every animal?
It was I Can Has Cheeseburger pre Doge.
Oh, and doggos were just a twinkle in the eye of the internet.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was like before. I mean, yeah, the only way the internet had agreed that animals talk was I Can Has Cheeseburger,
mm-hmm.
at this point. But this was not like that. It was like animals having really sophisticated conversations with each other.
But they're just shouting at each other?
In all caps.
Yeah.
I
think the next internet billionaire is going to be the person who comes up with the next way that animals talk for the internet.
Yeah. I don't want animals to talk any different way. I like the way they talk now.
You say that now, but in a couple of years, when the new way that animals talk has come out, and that once you've stopped rejecting it and started accepting it, you'll feel like that's the best way.
You know, I do try to accept whatever comes on the internet. I'm always, like, asking my sister, hey, mm-hmm. what are people saying on the internet these days?
Sure, how are they talking? What's the way that... Yeah.
But the weird thing about that is mm-hmm. it's really hard to explain internet meme language without it just being experienced.
You're right. Well, I remember your sister showed us that video from TikTok that was just a dinosaur saying yee.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like assuring us that this was the next big thing.
I think in a way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't, but can, and we're just, we're not on that, on that wavelength now because we're, yeah, we're an old.
There was something else she said, like, oh, you, some word you use to, like, support things or say or is that it you the thing agree where, with things.
Oh, okay. What is that?
I forget.
Okay.
Because I'm too old.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember these things.
Are they, they're, like, not back to old-timey saying yay or nay, are they?
No, no. It's like, oh, I kin this or something, or I don't know. I forget what it was.
Did I ever tell you about how if the founding fathers had spoken Korean instead of English, it would have been really confusing because in Korean, yay and nay both mean yes.
Ah!
Yeah.
Well, people still use yay and nay. Oh, no, do they? Well, they use I and nay.
Oh, is that a thing? I? It's I instead of nay?
Yeah, well, like Robert's Rules, all in favor say I, oh, all opposed say nay.
Oh, okay. I don't know Robert's Rules. I'm not in any organizations that use it.
Well,
I'm all,
good
we
for
only
you.
Do sociocracy in my organizations.
Oh, God.
Huh?
I don't even want to have this conversation.
Guys, choose. You can choose any way you want to govern your organizations. You don't have to choose Robert's Rules of Order. You can choose other
That's
things.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
The world of governance is your oyster if you don't die of boredom before you take advantage of it.
The world of governance is a vampire sent to Dre AA.
Yeah, that's kind of true also.
So... this is a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
In which
yep,
we're called
yeah.
My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune. And I'm the boyfriend.
And I'm Caitlin.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also my own person. My name's Sean.
And I'm also a girlfriend.
And what we do on this podcast is...
but I prefer the word partner.
We read a chapter of Dune,
yeah,
that by Frank Herbert every week, and I like it, and she doesn't, but she's a good sport about doing it anyways.
Yeah, you know, it's such a simple premise, and people always appreciate the premise when they hear it, whether they ultimately end up appreciating the podcast itself or not.
Yeah, you appreciate the premise. The execution might leave something to be desired, or end up being more frustrating than you thought it would be initially. Or whatever. But, you know.
Yeah.
We are almost all the way done with this book.
I counted today. Yeah. I think we are down to 10 or fewer chapters left.
So, you know, this has been quite a journey over these COVID times. Not to date the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want this to be a perennial podcast. That's what everyone's looking for. And it is, with some exceptions.
Well, you know, I think that we're really contributing to the archives right now of these
human,
times.
Huge manatees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have a special guest coming in right now, rolling in like fog on little feet.
You know, you raise a good point about special guests, because there's so many people we've talked about having a special guest on this podcast, and considering that we're down to like 10 or few chapters, maybe we should get that done.
Or maybe this is just our podcast. This is the format, and the next one will have guests.
What? No, you want the next one that's my podcast to be the one that has guests?
All right, maybe we'll have two. Maybe we'll have the next podcast that's yours, and then we'll have
a
spinoff podcast.
Could we have what if we had a call-in show or a Q&A show?
We did a call-in guest one time, and that was okay.
That was more of a call-out guest, but...
oh, yeah. That's right. You're like, let me call her right now. Good point.
Yeah, but we could have a call-in show or a Q&A show.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so we'll think about that.
Yeah, we'll think about that. We got some guests, some local comedic talent around here.
Yeah. We have some friends who like Dune.
And some friends who, well, yeah, we have.
And we have some friends who just like listening to me talk about not Dune.
Which one's that? Matt?
Just like a couple friends.
Yeah.
What, Matt? You think Matt is the friend who likes listening to me talk?
No, Matt told me that he listened to 2 episodes, which is more than he's given most podcasts
yet.
which is fair, because, you know, all of his friends have a podcast, and he has a podcast, and I haven't listened to it yet.
My sister likes listening to me talk, and she better.
Yeah, Well,
just kidding. She could not. That'd be fine too. Mm-hmm. And Caroline likes listening to me talk.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I'm sure there are other Caitlyn fans out there in the world.
Yeah.
Write to us at my...
I'm not going to shout them out just yet, but they hit me up on Twitter. I showed you.
And they were just on the verge of saying how much they like me better than you, but they didn't want to offend you.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The cat is licking her big bushy tail.
Don't get distracted by the cat. And it's also, hard. The cat is cuddled up on my legs, and so
I
she's
noticed,
my cat right now.
I was
right going
to congratulate you on the cat snuggling up to your legs.
Yeah. It's really nice.
And it's a... That's
you
a,
wish you had this.
It's not... This is not an end of the bed. You know, maybe you can touch her with your little toe. This is,
mm-hmm.
like, straight up.
Well, it is cold in here.
This is a straight up cuddle. Is it? I'm wearing long johns.
It's a bit chilly.
Okay. Well, that's why she's doing it. It's a,
yeah.
She's a temperature puss.
Yeah, she has a real temperature. Real temp queen.
Mm-hmm. So...
I did put one flag in this chapter.
I saw that. Yeah. It's like these old flags of ours have seen a lot of wear and tear, but
mm-hmm.
they haven't been used in a couple of chapters, I think.
Well, I can't for the life of me remember why I put the flag in there, but I'm sure I could jog the mem.
Well, we'll come to it when we come to it.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll come.
Let's just get on this journey, you know, climb the mountain a little ways to make sure it's a mountain.
I think it's a ledge.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. It's probably a definite ledge.
It's a ledge.
Oh, wait, look, there's an acoustic horn behind me. I can tell that it's a ledge.
Ah! Right.
And there's a food court below me.
No! No food court.
Okay. So this starts out, this is, you know, Princess Irulan has to have her say. And she says, "Control the coinage in the courts. Let the rabble have the rest. Thus the Padishah Emperor advised you. And he tells you, if you want profits, you must rule. There is truth in these words, but I ask myself, who are the rabble and who are the ruled?" Muad'Dib's secret message to the Lancerod from Arrakis Awakening by the Princess Irulan.
Who do you think are the rabbled and the ruled?
Well, that's an interesting point because, you know, with the way their government is set up, you got, you know, the Emperor, and you got the Lancerad, and then you got the Guild, and they're a tripod, you know, cut out one leg and the whole thing falls over, I really think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of interdependency there, and yeah, I think that, and I don't know, when I read that, I just think, well, yeah, the Lancerad's got the other two over a barrel just as much as the Guild has the Lancerod and the Emperor over a barrel just as the Emperor has.
What the fuck is a Lancerod?
That's the group of great houses. So, like...
Oh. It's like Parliament?
Kind of. It's more like, you know, the Harkonnens are in the Lancerod. The Atreides are in the Lancerod. There's a bunch of other houses in the Lancerod. That, you know, that's just great big, great feudal barons, you know, great
mm-hmm.
feudal lords and ladies and whatnot, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they own all the planets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Emperor...
So it's like QAnon?
Maybe? This feels like a stretch. What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, all the important people are in QAnon kidnapping.
Oh, you're saying that it's like, it's like a secret society that... Yeah, if QAnon came... out in the open. Wait, no. You're talking about the people that QAnon are fighting against?
I don't know. What's QAnon?
It's a bunch of people on the internet who believe a bunch of lies from a website.
Sure,
about
yes.
child porn
so
from a website
the,
where you can get child porn.
It's the child porn ring people. Or the maybe friends of Jeffrey Epstein?
I don't know, babe. it's powerful people.
Is it like the UN?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the UN, but it's more like...
Is it like Congress?
No, because it's not a democracy. It's
Is it like Hogwarts?
It's probably Hogwarts is getting closer in that it's only for, you know, really rich people if money is magical power in this case.
Is it like the Secret Club in Eyes Wide Shut?
Yes.
Okay.
Secret Club in Eyes Wide Shut.
But if that weren't a secret.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And then the Guild, of course, they can't travel and do trade without the Guild.
Right.
And then the
Guild
Emperor,
is like the IMF or the World Bank.
Yeah. And then the Emperor owns most of the money. and owns most of the money and owns the best soldiers, which is why he's worried about, you know, he's got his...
I generally understand what an emperor is.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they all
depend... I've never had one, though.
They all depend on each other, mm-hmm. right? In certain ways, and then but they're all still trying to fuck each other over all the time.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Not like QAnon, where they're just trying to fuck each other.
What? No, the QAnons, they're trying to save all the... What are they trying to do?
Okay, not like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
He's... Oh, wait, no, not like the Eyes Wide Shut cult.
Yeah,
Eyes Wide Shut. That's who's trying to fuck each other.
Yeah, they're all fucking each other. Right, or they're hiring models in or something. I don't know. Brad Pitt. No, wait, not Brad Pitt. What's his name? Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Weird movie.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I've seen it a bunch.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so. What happens in this chapter? It's time for the recap.
Tonight, instead of a recap, I'm going to do a recap.
Okay. I was thinking that pun, too. I wasn't sure I was going to work it in, but yeah.
Okay. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow.
Oh, the Kwisatz Haderach, yeah.
Okay, so let me translate for
you.
We open on Jessica. She's in the new siege. She's like, oh, I don't know. I'm feeling kind of like anxious because Paul's gonna do this thingy and nobody's telling me, but I know that's what's happening.
This is happening at the same time as the last chapter.
Yeah. She like, it's like nobody's actually told her that Paul's gonna ride a worm today, but she like knows.
Yeah, because it was on the calendar or something.
Oh, it was she saw someone's Google calendar.
Mm-hmm. No, it was written on in Sharpie on the refrigerator.
Oh, it was like reserve the worm riding conference room for Paul Madib today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so she's like reflecting on how the siege is kind of like depressing, but they try to cover it up with some design inspo.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're depressed because their men aren't there. They don't have any men.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the ladies down in the south.
Yep. So, and like, yeah, she's thinking about her weird adult baby daughter.
Mm-hmm. Who dad is?
Alia? No. Yeah.
Of the knife.
Alia.
Oh, wait,
yeah.
We don't call her that yet, maybe.
And apparently, so Alia's been palling around with Hera.
Yeah, and Hera's...
Or vice versa. But Hera's kind of... She's got some mixed feelings about it.
Because Alia's always... She's like a 2 or 3 year old baby, and she's always walking around going...
She's always fucking dragging Hera.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
What are some of these deep burns that she gives Hera?
Oh, she calls Hera some kind of Fremen word that means, like, essentially a prize that you bring home from war, but that now you use as, like, a paperweight.
Yeah, right. It's like it's like the tip of a spear that you now use as a curtain rod or something.
Yeah.
That's Hera.
That is a pretty deep burn.
That's a deep burn, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So anyway, basically Jessica's in there, she's like reflecting and stressing and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hera comes in with Alia.
Mm-hmm.
And Hera's like, Alia called me whatever this word of
a ganima.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not what she says. She's
ganima.
No, but I don't know why
my brother's ganima is annoyed with me.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it's not that Hera like tattles on her.
Yeah.
It's that like Jessica's like, yo, what's going on? Why are you coming here?
Yeah, and Hera's like, she got a list of things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, this kid is refusing to play with the other kids, which,
right.
Like, who's going to want to play with this kid who talks like a thousand old ladies?
Yeah.
You know? Like, that would not be fun for another kid, I feel like. And it probably wouldn't be fun for her.
I wonder if I would have been into that. I do like old ladies.
But do you want to talk to a kid that's just, like, speaks with legions of memories of old ladies from thousands of years past.
Okay, I will say,
I'd want to talk to them, but maybe not a kid as a kid.
Here's what I'll say. Like, in the last chapter, I was sort of, like, imagining the creepiness factor as being akin to, like, the thing in, like, commercials where you see, like, a baby and they make its lips move, but, like, a 50-year-old man voice comes out. Right, like the old E-Trade baby. Whatever.
It's like, I'm just a baby, but even I know how to trade online.
That shit creeps me the fuck out. I don't like that.
I think there's definitely some of that going on here.
No, but they specific... But Herbert, they... I don't know why, like, I always imagine he's, like, more than one person. But he specifically, like, mentions over and over that she's speaking with this, like, lisp or this lip. Like, she's got, like, very, a soft palate. She's, like, she has, like, the voice of a child, but she's just, like...
I speak with the voice of a thousand generations. Like that.
She's, like, she's, like, my brother's going to be more than I me. You know?
Yeah.
Which I do think would be kind of cute.
I hid behind hangings and watched Super Day's child being born. It's a boy, he cried and cried. What a set of lungs.
Like that? Yeah, sounds kind of cute, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it sounds creepy too, though. Like, or I don't know. Here's the thing. When you talk to small children a lot, they don't have a ton to say. You know, they tell
you about... Well, they have a ton to say,
it's not...
There's no depth to it.
It's all about their toys or some show they watch or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess it would be creepy if some kid... Because, like, I figure she's going to come up and she's going to, you know, she's going to be a chatterbox like a normal, you know, kid like that. But then she's going to be talking about, like, deep shit, like...
Honestly, the main thing I kept thinking about as I was reading this chapter is, like, the casting issue. How the fuck... So this is supposed to be a 2-year-old that's speaking like an adult.
Yeah.
How do you cast that?
In the movie, they dubbed her. In this Lynch movie, they dubbed her. They had a little tiny baby kid, and then they dubbed, like, they had the kid, you know, say the words, and they dubbed, like, a more adult voice over it.
So it was like the fucking E-Trade baby.
Yes.
Gross.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not at all how it's described in the book.
Well, yeah, I think they could do a better job of that, but it's hard to get a 3-year-old to, like, you know.
But maybe if you just had a really intelligent 3-year-old and you were like this, you just fed them like one line at a time off camera, just like repeat this.
Or just get a pregnant lady, give her the water of life, and have her change it into the drug that, you know, that's like super ecstasy.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a baby.
Oh, like Alia. I think you could find so many women who would be willing to do that.
Okay, did you ever watch, there's this movie, the documentary Yodorowsky's Dune? There's this
why would I have watched that?
Right. So the thing about this Yodorowsky guy is he was like training his, like, you know, 13-year-old son to be... He trained him, like, in martial arts and shit for, like, 3 years to play Paul.
Okay. Did it work? No, because Paul was Kyle MacLachlan and is now Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, and this guy's movie never got made. It was, like, he went around assembling this crazy cast of characters who probably never would have been able to work together. It was, like, you can see the movie. Everybody that's listening to this has probably seen the movie, so it's fine.
Not everybody.
Yeah. He got Salvador Dali to play the Emperor. He got to agree to play the Emperor. He got what's the guy's that did War of the Worlds?
I don't know.
And he also did Citizen Kane.
Well, okay, so I have been watching
Baron Harkonnen.
I have been watching Togetherness. And the reason that it came on my radar and stuck on my radar, well, because I listened to the Brené Brown podcast Unlocking Us, where she interviews the Duplass brothers, and she makes a joke about how she and her friends were like, and fuck guys who are into Dune or whatever after watching the show. And so I was, like, trying to figure out what's the connection between the show Togetherness and Dune. And before I started watching it, like, where my research landed me was that there's, like, an episode where somebody, like, somehow convinces the school to put on a production of Dune.
Oh, that'd be so dope. I would love to see,
like,
that.
Like, a stage production of Dune. Yeah, I'd love to see a stage production of Dune. Or scenes from Dune or something.
Yeah.
But really, like, so it's Mark Duplass who... stars in it, and he's like a real Dune head. Like, within the first, you know, like, few episodes or whatever. Who's that woman? Oh, fuck. I don't know her name. She was, like, the crazy, like, obsessed neighbor on Two and a Half Men. And, like, she was in Mrs. America. I don't know. She's, like, kind of got, like, a... She's, like, Megan Mullally, like, toned down, like, many, many degrees.
She's, like, a mild Mullally.
Yeah, she's, like, a mild Mullally. Anyway, I don't know her name.
Mm-hmm.
She's the wife. And she asks him, like, okay, like, what's, like, the best thing you could imagine doing today? And he's, like, Barnes & Noble, sit in a chair by myself, read Dune.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a real Dune head.
Yeah.
Like you.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably other people who listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So if you haven't...
Apparently Molly is a real Dune head. She's read it like four times.
Right. So if you haven't watched Togetherness and you want to be able to relate to a real Dune head, you should watch it, but also be forewarned that it will make you feel things.
Mm. Yeah, which is why I'm not watching it.
Yeah, I know why you're not watching it. And boy, does it make me feel things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
feel things. Wants to feel things.
Well, I like feeling things, but then sometimes it's hard.
I know, it's the hard, it's the hardness of it. Okay, so yeah, I mean, Alia, she's a handful. She's sneaking in and watching babies being born and telling people that this baby looked like some other baby that was born 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, and they're like, how would you even know that? But then, like, also, Hera's mad because Alia snuck in and watched this baby being born, and I guess it's, like, customary for the Fremen to let the babies shed, like, as much water as possible when they're babies. Because, like,
you're not allowed to be... Babies. Yeah, you can cry when you're a baby, but no more.
Yeah. But Alia's like, he was just crying so much, so I touched him, and then he, like...
Stopped crying.
Yeah. He, like, felt me, and...
She soothed him with her... You know, Bene Gesseritness or something.
Yeah. I feel like she didn't even mean to, though.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't know. I just, like, he was crying so much and I just wanted to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, basically, like, this chapter goes along.
But, like, what's Hera's, like, real concern here? Because it's not, you know, she's not, like, make this kid straighten up and fly right. It's...
No, Hera's real concern is, like, can we get out on the table what the fuck is actually going on here?
Right, because everybody thinks this kid is really freaking weird.
Right, and, like, I'm, like, and actually, I really love this kid.
Yeah, she loves the kid.
And I know that this kid loves me because that was, like, this kid's first words to me.
Yeah,
was
her
that
first
she loves
words
me.
Ever were, I love you, Hera.
Yeah, so... She's like, I know, even when she's being a little bitch and calling me a Ganima or whatever, I know she's, like, doing it with love.
Mm-hmm. There's no malice in her words.
Yeah. And so she's like, I feel like we need to, like, tell everybody what actually happened here because I know what happened. Hera's like, I know what happened. When you did this water thing... This baby got all the wisdom of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica's like, oh my god, how'd you figure that out? And Hera's like, I could have been a fucking Sayadina.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I wasn't born into whatever. You know, I was born out here in Fremen world.
So this is basically the chapter where we learn that Hera is, like, much deeper and more intellectual than she originally appears, which also created a casting question for me. Because it would have to be somebody who originally is like, I could be your wife. And then ultimately is like, no, I'm wise as fuck.
Who's the girl from Mean Girls with the really big eyes?
Rachel McAdams?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Rachel McAdams.
No, not Rachel McAdams.
Well, who would you do then? A Lindsay Lohan?
Well, maybe like a... No, she's too old now. Natalie Portman. Although...
Well, Natalie Portman's older than... What's her name?
Rachel McAdams?
Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
No, I think she is. Well, but here's the thing is that at some point, Hera's face is described as being like witch-like or whatever.
Mm.
So it's like, who's
well, it's
like that kind of witchy feature?
Well, it's definitely going to be the Nurse Ratched lady that's in everything as a
Sarah
evil,
Paulson.
Yeah, Sarah Paulson as an evil.
Yeah,
lady.
You're right. It probably is going to be Sarah Paulson. Fucking Sarah Paulson.
Ah, damn, Phoebe, would you get over how much you love Sarah Paulson?
So basically,
why are we so angry at Sarah Paulson?
I don't know, because she's just like in too many things, and her eyes are too close together. Well, and
she's always like, "I'm the prim, proper, you know, bitchy person," who, you know what I mean?
I don't know. It's just like, it's because like she's in so many things, and I just can't decide if I even like her face.
And also, the things she's in is stuff that we don't particularly like that.
Well, she was in Mrs. America, and I did like that.
Oh yeah, who did she play?
She was like the right-hand lady of Cate Blanchett.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So she was a little bit not the heroine of...
Mm-hmm.
She was the heroine in somebody else's story.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. So basically, Hera's coming to Jessica being like, listen, I can be your hero, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Alia's like, hey, Mom, I think we need to listen to her. I think we underestimated how valuable she can be to us.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's like, okay, the Fremen will listen to her. They mm-hmm. understand her. She'll be able to connect
It'll
to
them. It'll sound better coming from her.
That like, I'm like a weird fucking old lady baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then Hera's like, all right, well, you know, kind of like lawyer rules or whatever, like, I can protect you, but you have to tell me everything.
Is that the rules for the lawyer? I thought you were not supposed to tell the lawyer anything that's, like, incriminating or something.
Maybe that's it.
You know, it's like, oh, I wish you hadn't said Phoenix.
Right. Yeah, maybe that. Well, I don't know. It's whoever's, like, you have to be straight with me. Oh, mm-hmm. I guess it's like they say that in the interrogation room.
Yeah, they're like, come on.
They're like, we can give you a deal, but you have to tell us everything, mm-hmm. right? So then she, like, recounts this whole experience of being in utero mm-hmm. and having all this, like, wisdom
mm-hmm.
dropped on her.
Yeah, she's like, first I was afraid, I was petrified, and then my mom came down by my side and... she gave me love and calmness, and, you know, then I knew I could survive, and then the third little spark of consciousness came in, and that was the Reverend Mother, and then she shot memories into me, mm-hmm. like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. And is it Jessica or Hera that's like, ugh, like, that sounds so shitty, I'm so sorry you had to, like, come into the world that way or whatever, and she's like, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, it's no choice.
I just, like, I didn't...
I didn't ask to be born, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If you had asked to be... If someone had asked you to be born, would you have said yes?
Well, am I a sperm or am I an egg in this scenario?
Mm. No, you're like a baby up in heaven or something.
I don't believe in babies up in heaven.
You're a nothingness who is asking, who's being asked if you should be a somethingness.
Well, all I'm thinking is, like, if I'm a sperm, then I'm like, fuck yeah, my only mission in life is to be a baby.
Get that egg, and if you're the egg, what are you thinking?
If I'm the egg, I'm like, I don't know, I'm tired.
Uh-huh.
Not tonight.
Get a headache. I'm on my period.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel so bloated.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then there's like a whole, they have to do a prayer thing. I'm confused about that. Okay, so basically they have to stop in the middle of this conversation because all these people come through the halls chanting, which apparently sets them off to do this like nightly prayer.
Yeah, but it seemed like they were just doing the prayer with each other. It wasn't like a performance prayer.
No, but I think, but like it also seemed like the vibe is that everybody in the siege is like doing this prayer at the same time.
Yeah, we all do this prayer right now.
Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. They talk about.
And it's, the prayer is basically about how they got, you know, the Fremen got massacred in a raid on some other planet zillions of years ago. And they are never going to forget about it and they're never going to forgive.
Right. I was wondering what that referred to. So you think it's like zillion. This isn't a recent thing.
No, this is a long time ago. This is on some other planet. Okay. This is on Faluba Duba.
Uh-huh. Because it says, silence came over the three of them as it was in all the apartments of the siege. The silence while they remembered and kept their grief thus fresh. Mm-hmm. So it's like this moment of silence that everybody observes.
Yeah.
Then there's an ending to the ceremony. Yeah, we will never forgive and never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
It's a real 9/11 situation.
So then one of Stilgar's hot and taut ladies comes in.
Mm-hmm.
and is like, there's a problem.
How do you know they're hot and tot?
Because Stilgar is obviously hot and tot, so I assume he has hot and tot ladies.
You think that he's attracting some top-notch talent to Team Stilgar because of his status?
Yeah, I kind of imagine Stilgar being like a Jason Momoa. Wait, is that his name? Who's the Momoa guy?
He's Aquaman?
Yeah, Jason Momoa. Yeah, I imagine Stilgar being a Jason Momoa type. Not the Jason Momoa that takes off all his big muscles and is a skinny guy, like in the Super Bowl commercial.
Okay.
The Jason Momoa with the big muscles.
Okay. So not the Jason Momoa from that one commercial.
Yeah.
But rather Jason Momoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's how I imagine Stilgar.
Okay.
And then, you know.
Well, you know.
So just imagine the kind of ladies as Jason Momoa.
I got some real good news for you.
Yeah. Does Jason Momoa play Stilgar?
I think so.
Oh my god, does he really?
Yeah.
I am so good at casting. Ugh. I think they should cast CGI Haley Joel Osment as Alia.
Well, but have real Haley Joel Osment do the, you know, do the mocap.
What's the mocap?
The motion capture. You know, he'll be the guy in the green smock actually doing that.
So like old short fat Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, and he'll have tennis ball. He'll have ping pong balls all over him.
Yeah, but then they're also CGIing him as a little girl, too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
All right, so...
You can't use real little girls on screen. They don't look like little girls. You gotta use Haley Joel Osment's.
Yeah. All right, so anyway. So she's basically, like, saying... Oh, yeah, so what is she saying? She's saying that... everybody's murmuring that if Paul doesn't pass this test, they're gonna force him to
if Paul doesn't pass this test, he's gonna be in the belly of a worm. He's gonna be getting shit out by worms 1,000 years from now.
No, but what's the thing? Why is he gonna end up having to battle Stilgar for control of the
Stilgar tribe? Because Stilgar is in charge of the tribe. He's the chief queef.
But what does that have to do with the worm?
Well, they're saying that if Paul survives, they're gonna come to Paul and be like, "We want you to be chief queef, and we're gonna make and so you need to go." Challenge Stilgar, because the way you get up, you move up in our society is, you know, Klingon style, you gotta kill the guy in charge.
Right.
And that's what they're gonna want him to do. And so, hot, you know, the hot and tot lady is saying, we don't want Stilgar to get killed by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Stilgar is gonna let that happen if it comes to it, you know? We got to figure something out. That's not good. We need Stilgar and Paul. We want both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how are we going to figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean, Vern?
Right, yeah.
And I think that's kind of left unresolved.
Yeah, it is left unresolved. Mm-hmm. Oh, but here's what I flagged.
Yeah, what did you flag?
Is that Jessica's thinking, gathering water, planting the dunes, changing their world slowly but surely... These are no longer enough, Jessica thought. The little raids, the certain raids, these are no longer enough now that Paul and I have trained them.
Yeah.
They feel their power. They want to fight. And this is just like, this is like my experience of like movement building and like community. I don't like to say community empowerment because it implies that I'm somehow giving other people power that they don't already have. But basically like... supporting the community to like actualize their power. Like, this is what I try to do in my job, right? And it is true that eventually it's like, oh, just like doing these little projects and having control over these little projects is not enough for people. They're like, no, fuck this, I want, you know,
they get a taste of it and they want more. Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, but that's what's happening to the Fremen. They know how to do Bene Gesserit kicky boos now, and they are going to kicky the boo out of everyone, they had all these Harkonnens. You know, they're not going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
With the small potatoes.
Okay, so basically, like, they're all like, okay, we don't want this to happen. It's a bad situation. Alia's like, I'm gonna try to do something about this.
Oh, she's gonna... Well, she wanted to tell Hera about, like, what really it really felt like inside? Or wait, what?
Oh, no. She says, I will go with Thartar and listen to the young men. Perhaps there is a way. So she's basically gonna... She's a spy. And maybe she can get away with being a spy because she's a little baby and they don't suspect. And
she's like, hello, hello, lads. I'm a little baby. Don't bother with me. I'm just doing little baby things.
Right. But what's
interesting... I remember your grandmother.
What's interesting at the end of this is that...
I am your grandmother.
Is that Hera's like, oh, I know what your deal is. I know that you don't want Paul to marry Chani because you think that she's not, like, noble enough or whatever.
And she's like, because, like, but I mean, he, don't she's get like, me wrong. I
genuinely like Chani.
I really like Chani.
And
I would love for her to have this job.
Right. And Hera's like, yeah, but maybe you haven't thought about the fact that Chani herself could be an ally in Chani not marrying Paul because Chani also wants what's best for Paul.
Yeah.
But what I thought was really interesting is that Jessica starts to be like, Chani's very dear to me. She could be no, blah, blah, blah. And then Hera's just like, yo, your rugs are dirty. There's all these people tramping in here all the time. You should have your rugs clean.
I know. That's the end of the chapter. That's the last thing they say is how dirty these fucking rugs are.
Which gave me a lot of anxiety. But like,
because you're worried that our rugs are dirty?
No, it just made me think about dirty rugs. And I don't like thinking about dirty rugs. And our rugs probably are dirty. And now I'm thinking about that.
I was thinking, like, what's the significance of that being the end of the chapter?
Well, I kind of I was interested in how you interpreted it, because I kind of interpreted it as, like, let's pretend I never said that. Let's just pretend we're talking about some basic bitch rug cleanliness stuff.
See, I was thinking, well, what she's telling Jessica is, hey, I'm smarter than you give me credit for, and what I have noticed is that you are letting all of this big stuff, all of this big stuff is making it so you're forgetting to pay attention to the little things. And the Bene Gesserit are the masters of the little paying attention to the little things.
Oh, so you think she's like, bitch, you're slipping. You haven't even noticed how dirty your rugs are.
That's kind of how I felt about it. That's how I felt it was. And I'm not sure which metaphorical rugs she's talking about. Metaphor of the worms as for nature, or it could
But then why does she cut Jessica off?
Your rugs are very dirty in here. I don't know.
That's I think it's like...
She's cutting her off from talking more about how much she loves Chani. And how she thinks, hey, listen, Chani's great. No one loves Chani more than me. However, I'm saying for the position of Paul's wife, I think we should go a little more, I hate to use this word, but aristocratic. You know, I feel like
this is hitting too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was... to me it just felt like she was trying to rapidly change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, forget I ever said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, forget I was ever this vulnerable. Or
or maybe like, I've said what I'm going to say, we don't need to keep dwelling on this. Let's like move along.
Yeah.
Crap, I've got a cat stuck to my socks now.
Well, you did that to yourself.
I know. I sowed the wind, and now I'm going to reap the whirlwind of a cat biting my foot.
Or just having a cat attach to your foot for the rest of the night because she doesn't know how to retract her claws. She doesn't know how to retract her
claws. Now she's just like, well, I guess my claws stuck to this sock forever now.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
It's still stuck. Still stuck. Stood up. She's okay. Mouth off.
All right. So
that was the end of the
chapter.
That's
that. I mean, like, do you feel like we pretty much captured everything?
I think we captured it's a chapter. It's one of those chapters where we're getting in touch. We're just like, we're getting in touch with how everybody's feeling about things.
Which, of course, means I liked it.
Yeah, you liked the chapter. It's a Jessica chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting in touch with how Jessica feels about things. We've got a circle of women who are bonding with each other.
Oh, yeah, love that.
And
it was a real Galentine's mm-hmm. Day.
Yeah, definitely. Great. All they needed to do was exchange chocolates.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you do on Galentine's?
I don't know. Braid each other's hair.
Do you put cucumbers over your eyeballs?
You know, I've never done that, I don't think so.
Oh, man, we ate all that cucumber today. We should have put some on our eyeballs.
Yeah, you're right.
Why are you flipping this book so close to the microphones?
I just want people to share in the experience of me counting how many chapters we have left.
It's not that many.
Far
away.
I think it's like 10. I'm going to stand by what I said about it being like 10.
Sounds good. Yeah, here, look, there's the end of June.
Yeah,
right,
it's
there.
Like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
So, so we got to talk about, you know, how to use those eps wisely and...
Those episodes wisely? Oh, because you want to have guests on. You want to change the whole dynamic.
Guests or... Well, I don't know, just...
Like, we're gonna be, like, Zooming, or maybe I could set up a fire outside for somebody to come out.
Oh, a Zoom episode would work.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could try that.
Or we could, or we could finish the 10 chapters and then have...
And then have some general
edition.
Yeah.
Episodes.
Ooh, or we could have somebody come in for the appendices.
No. I want nothing to do with the
for
appendices.
For when we read the appendices.
I have been very clear about wanting nothing to do with the appendices, and I ask you to respect my
I do.
Wishes.
I'm just saying the last words of the last appendices of this book can blow your mind. I mean, not your mind, but blow one's mind if you're inclined to have your mind blown by science fiction novels.
Yeah. No, but can't I just read the last words then?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, fine.
It's a short boy. It's only like a couple of pages, that last appendix.
Appendix?
Appendix.
Do you know appendices is the plural of appendix?
Yes, I knew that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
You always think I'm such like a bumpkin when it comes to literary things.
No, I don't.
You do. You're like, yeah, right. I'm like, yeah. This is just the glossary that you're looking at. But
no,
before that is okay. Well, that's the dramatis personae. Keep going.
This is selected excerpts of the noble houses. That's appendix 4.
Yeah, but I mean there's a couple that are see like this one here. Now
appendix
3.
Is the
yeah,
one
this
you
is
like.
About this is kind of like the Bene Gesserit assessing what the heck happened. And then this one is about the religion, about how religion came about in Dune.
No.
And this one's about ecology.
I don't want to do it. No.
We might not be getting those appendix episodes, guys. Okay.
Maybe
so,
if there's a bunch of clamoring.
I'm going to go buy so many dozens of clams and just have them clamor out in front of your bedroom.
You could probably ply me with clams.
Okay. So maybe if we just do the clamoring, and whereas we eat clams and talk about the appendices.
Maybe.
Okay.
Could try it.
Okay.
Gotta cook them good, though.
I cook clams real good.
All right.
Look, I do white wine, I do
of
butter,
course
I do
don't
garlic.
Trust you, because you're a southern boy. You know where, you don't get anywhere near clams.
Here's where I get near clams, is in the seafood section of the store. And I say, give me those little necks. I'm gonna do them in white wine and garlic and butter.
Are you thinking of mussels?
A little cracked pepper. That works with mussels too.
All right.
I don't know. How should I steam clams, Internet? You tell me.
I don't know.
Little
either.
Necks, that's what I'm talking about.
But I know you need that broth to get the grit off, and then you need...
No, not little necks. Little necks aren't gritty.
Well, they are if you get them straight out the ocean in Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, but those wouldn't be little necks, would they? I thought little necks are only from Little Neck something something, Rhode Island or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the big those big Maine clams that you definitely need stuff to dip those fuckers in because they're so sandy.
Gotta get that sand off of them, and then you dip them in.
Yeah, you don't have to do that with little necks, though. You just...
I guess whatever you want.
You just throw them in the... You just steam them until they're open, and then eat them. They're like mussels in that way.
All right, well, you figure it out.
Okay. You can reach us on @my_dune on Twitter, and we're at... I guess Sean.Archer.Calhoun on Instagram. We are, you can hit us up at DuneGirlfriend@gmail.com.
Has anybody ever sent an email to that email address?
No.
Well, email us there if you have a question for our Q&A episode.
Yeah. And then what else? Happy
member gerber can of worms.
Oh yeah, go. Oh yeah, well, we do have do have new people on can of worms.
Gerbered can of worms,
or just yeah. And it's, I've linked it to the, you can get right to the can of worms from our, what do you call it, our page, our Facebook page, which is just My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune. Just search for it on Facebook, you'll get to the page, you'll get to the can of worms group. It's all there. You know, just hit us up, it's great.
Yeah.
And that, other than that, we can probably say good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm going to grab the cat's tail and have her bite me.
Okay, love you. Love you. Bye.
Wait, I don't say I love you. I don't love you. Bye.